research and accounting requirements, and then the making the calculation of the draft report, and the adoption of the PRR, and then deliberation on the draft committee report of the study to which Bengal. So we have those three items. The first session, while we're having this competency, is just a briefing on the process that we need to embark on in terms of the VRR report. And then we will go into the modes of discussion and adoption. Then we have deliberations on the draft committee report of the study tour to Brazil that they will also take us through. And here I just need to make members indulgence too. Because we got the report, we're discussing it for the first time today, whether by Friday we can adopt it. Because you remember, the one challenge that we had was getting those presentations that were made in Portuguese translated into English. So that really delayed the submission of the report to the committee and to Parliament as a whole. So, can I just get an indication from honourable members whether for Friday or Thursday or whenever, between Friday and Thursday, we can just meet for 30 minutes? Because if we can just go through the report today and we can come back in a day or two and then adopt the report, because that will then give you some time to go through your notes, confer with one another, and so on. We come back and we just adopt the report so that it can be ATC. Which day would suit you? Would be Thursday for half an hour when we need to apply for special permission?
Tomorrow
is Thursday, right? Can we do it tomorrow? We can look at any time, even if it's quickly after lunch. Just for this? Okay, fine. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So tomorrow can I talk to you?
Oh, okay.
This is Friday. Then move to Thursday.
Okay. Because you just briefed me wrong. You see, the committee secretary just briefed me to say we need to adopt the Brazil report.
You said the BRR.
Okay. So, okay. Right? This is our change of approach. Sorry for that, also for members.
That's the most common.
Yeah. To say that I've read the agenda wrong. If you look at the agenda that has been circulated to you, it says Friday the 22nd is adoption of the BRR report. Right? Now, can we push that one for tomorrow, after lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. They don't come, and then next week, Tuesday, the 26th, we have the Brazil report adoption. Is that fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Then we schedule from the 10th to the 12th, honorable members training by the Centre of Analysis of African Social Policy. We've looked at, you remember we discussed the issue of social policy training. So for 3 days we will then have this training as committee members in Durban. Okay, so those will be the 3 days that the committee will then be together in Durban to discuss, to go through that training. Then Wednesday, it will be the consideration of the annual report of the NGA. So those are the issues that I just wanted to bring to you.
Next week?
The 17th of November. What I said to you in November, 10th to the 12th is the social policy training for us. And then the 17th of November is, of the NGA. Okay, we've got quite a full process. But I'm sure, I think members, the training on social policy will be very insightful. And the social development department says that after that training, it's going to be really hard for them in terms of oversight, because we'll be well capacitated in terms of oversight when it comes to social development. Yeah, and I think it's the first kind of training in the first. If you look at the type of training, it's first time from parliamentarians. We're looking at the population and policy and development training, also for members. We will look at sustainable development, the impact of sustainable development and environmental changes on families, on their livelihoods. And hopefully, if I don't think it's too tight for this year, but for next year, and that you will then end up with a certificate for each of the sessions that you attend. Through the LEAD South East Africa, and you will then become a LEAD associate. There's only 2,000 LEAD associates worldwide, so you will become part of the LEAD family. And you will then also be invited to participate in international programs, but also not just internationally, but also in Africa and so on. So it will really broaden your horizons in terms of understanding development and its related challenges. Honourable members, having said that, I'm going to give. In terms of the apologies, how many apologies have we received? We've received three apologies. Honourable Nelson is sick. She has the flu, so she has been booked off. And Mom Ikize is in Malawi with the Rural Development Committee. And then Honourable Swete will be joining us late. And then Honourable Gume is attending a conference on women and children in Namibia. That's actually four apologies. Can we now give over to our team to take us through? Yeah. Are you going to take us through the... the budget review and recommendation report. Because this is a new animal. I don't want us to discuss it's a horse, and then we discuss it and it looks like a donkey at the end of the day. So our team just to give you an overview of what is this budget review report. What does it entail? What is our responsibility? And then we will get into the second thing. So over to you, is it Julie? So? Yeah. Okay, then both of you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the members. I'm just going to give just a very brief overview of what this, what we call in short BRRR, but in full it stands for the budget review and recommendation. I think the members are aware of the money bills amendment procedure and the related matters act which has passed last year. So according to this act, Parliament has the power now to amend the budget of the department, which is the committee now has the power. And the procedure is the starting point of the process entails that the annual report be assessed by the department of the national department, which the committee did last week. And then thereafter, the committee members, they assess the department through the annual budgetary review and recommendations report. So what happens is the committee, after it has been briefed by the department on its annual performance, then we meet we draft a report where the committee now assess the financial and the performance outcomes of the department. And then this is done in the purpose that the committee may motivate or influence the budget allocation of the department. If the committee may be satisfied maybe with the performance of the department, then it can maybe support, you know, the budget allocation that that the department is asking for the treasury. Or if the committee is not satisfied, then it can motivate why it feels that the budget required or requested by the department it should be amended. And then from this BRRR report in short, then after the committee has adopted this report, then this report is forwarded to the finance committees of parliament, which are going to compile the reports of all the committees, and then they submit those reports for the medium-term budget policy statement, which is going to be reviewed on the 28th of October. So it is very critical for us, because we have a deadline to finalize the BRRR report by 22 October, this Friday. So it is very critical that as a committee, we come up with all the recommendations that we feel we need to put forward so as to influence the allocation of the budget. And so that report, it should be ready by the 28th of October with other committees as well, and then the MTBPS can be reviewed. So that is what I'm going to do today. What the structural report is, the first sections of the report, I don't know if the members had a chance to look at. They're basically about the information that we received last week. The analysis of the presentation of the budget, of the annual report by the department, which Sia and I will did analysis before. And then the financial report, which the senior researcher presented to the members last week, as well as the information from the Auditor General that we had a meeting on Tuesday last week. So in essence, the from section 1 to section 3 or 4 is mainly about what the members, I think, they are familiar with right now. And then the lighter parts of the report are the ones that Linda and I worked on based on those briefings that we had last week. We had to come up with the observations which we identified from the discussions. So one part is the observations of the committee in terms of all the briefings that we had. And most importantly is the recommendations, which we would really appreciate if the members can maybe improve on them or add or do something, because they're quite important for the committee. And the other component is about the Millennium Development Goals. We had to include that to assess the performance of the department in terms of working towards achieving those goals. So the other part of the report gives a brief summary on the performance of the department on those MDGs. And that's about it. Yeah, so Lindy will take the members through the report, and then in the afternoon then we will effect the changes, and then we'll have the report ready tomorrow for the members to have a look at the final draft of the report. Thanks.
Okay,
Honourable members, is there any questions that you have to form Assistant Longena? Is Longena at this stage? Honourable Member Masiva? That is our new member's song. Please continue.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm thankful that you from our respected visitor. Chair, cut off the year I was not with you. I might ask a question that has been answered before, just to have an idea how much was our budget, just a committee, if we're talking about a committee budget. So the 22 adjustments, if you could have an idea
No, it's not about the committee's budget, it's about the department's budget. Okay, any other questions? Thank you, Honourable Member Linda. Are you taking us for the report?
Okay. Take us in which part, Mr. President, from the... From because mainly, you only mentioned that part one of the report is mainly the mandate of the department and the mandate of committee in terms of exercising oversight and the analysis that we made by the research.
Yeah, why don't we go to... Page 5. Aren't you going to put on the mic?
Okay. Thank you, Captain. I can draw our attention to page 5. This is the information analysis of the National Treasury on 32 section report. So this is the financial spending. I'll just read the first from the first sentence. Page 5 of the report. You don't have pages in your... Okay. Come on, you ready? The other report. Analysis of Section 32 expenditure report. You want to say something else? Okay. Preliminary expenditure at the end of 2009 financial year. The Department of Social Development spent 99.3% of its total budget of 86.508 billion by the end of March 2010. The reason for underspending was mainly because less social grant beneficiaries applied to grants than anticipated. Program 1, this program spent 99.8% of its revised budget of 177.3087 million in the 2009-10 financial year, which is 0.2% less than the amount budgeted. The preliminary underspending related mainly to staff turnover and related operational expenditure. Program 2, which is comprehensive social security. This program spent 99.3% of its revised budget of 85.653 billion in the 2009-10 financial year. The main reason for the primary expenditure related to social assistance grants due to lower than expected beneficiary uptake rate. In respect of social assistance policy amendments, an amount of 1.5 million or 10% was spent from social relief fund budget of 15 million. The underspending was due to less requests than we received for disaster relief. Program 3, Policy Development Review and Implementation Support for Welfare Services. The amount spent was equal to the amount budgeted for this program. The preliminary underspending relates mainly to staff turnover. Program 4, Community Development. The preliminary underspending of 1% of the revised budget of 241.743 million mainly relates to transfer and subsidies, not transfer as a result of non-compliance of substitution. The impact of the cost-saving measures implemented also contributed to a decrease in expenditure related to traveling, accommodation, and professional services. Program 5, Strategy and Governance. The amount spent was equal to the amount budget for this program. Notable higher or lower than expected economic classification spending. Classification spending. Compensation of employees,
In this one, a preliminary understanding was reflected as a result of some turnovers during the financial year. Goods and services, a preliminary understanding was reflected due to the cost saving measures implemented during the financial year to scale down on traveling and accommodation costs. Transfer and subsidies. The preliminary understanding mainly related to social assistance grants due to lower than expected beneficiary uptake rate. In respect of social assistance policy amendments, a final reconciliation of actual expenditure is in the process. An understanding under transfer to NPOs is also reflected due to non-compliance of NPOs and transfers were withheld. Capital transfers. A preliminary understanding is reflected as a result of the cost-saving measures implemented on the procurement of capital assets and furniture. So these are the financial spending as reflected by Section 32 produced by the National Treasury. Chapter number 5, this is the analysis that were presented by our researcher and our content advisor and the financial researcher, senior researcher on finances. So it relates to the financial spending as the program. So I don't know whether you want to read through this as it has been reflected or it has been presented during the engagement with the researcher content as well as with the department. So
I think this has already been given to us last week. So can we skip this part?
Yeah. Only if they ask. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oliver Mimbala Mala.
On reconciliation of actual expenditure is in focus, and then it goes on to an underspending under transfers to NPOs. Also reflected due to non-compliance of NPOs and transfers to a workout. You know, I'm not very clear on that one. Because I have a complete file on NPOs telling me that they submitted each and every document that was expected from them to be submitted to the department for their funds. It gets on me to give not any money problem. But this is a worrying factor because these monies could have been spent. I cannot see why there was an underspending there. Seeing that NPOs were awaiting their subsidies and never received. Mm. And many of them continuously submitted the same document over and over and over. When it's right, either in the department or on between the department and the NPOs. I'm just not very clear on that one.
Now, let the official that presented this document, so the authors of the document, just keep us the explanation of the interpretation. Can you just explain yourself? Is it the other can you help us out here?
The NPOs.
Notable higher, lower than expected economic classification.
I think it's the financial researcher who can be able to assist us on this one because I don't know the numbers.
Oh, yes.
The
senior researcher. It's
the finance part.
Okay.
I think just to add on another thing that was reflected during the engagement, I think members mentioned the issue of uniformity and standardization guidelines as far as awarding of money to NPOs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reflected that they are busy, they've already developed a policy or a guideline that will put standards, you know, the norms that need to be followed in terms of awarding the NPOs. I think that issue was reflected.
Okay, thanks, Ted. I think the other thing here is maybe, as another Mark Lamola has made an observation, and that was a slight research effect in our report and come up as a recommendation. Because this is what the department reported on. This is taken straight from the annual report.
Mm-hmm.
So they said this problem four, because it comes out of problem four, it understands because it withheld the mandate that is allocated to be given to the NPOs because of non-compliance. So the issue that we can come up with, what have we done in terms of improving the compliance, or what are the reasons for non-compliance? Mm-hmm. This is one thing I said last week, you know, in my presentation, that what did they establish? Did they engage with those people? Because they said they sent about 2.718 has been letters to the NPOs which are not registered and not complied with the Act. So that's something that we maybe can make as a recommendation or as an observation of the committee.
I think maybe it's something that we can just keep in the back of our minds. Because we always see those emails. If we discuss it at one stage and then get the battery director in for social development to come and explain to us those processes, and then also have representatives of provinces from social development, and we listen to the process, and then at the later stage we have representatives from the NGO sector and the two government again. And then when we go on oversight, we specifically also take those issues.
Excellent.
We need to do this.
Okay.
Can we keep that in mind for our recommendation? Honorable.
Thank you, Jeff. One was still on that point. I'm worried because now many NGOs on daily basis can see government to court. In the meantime, and other NGOs are busy closing down. What are we going to do? This for? Because things take a long time before we can go for oversight or whatever. In the meantime, what can we do to facilitate the faster good process? Because those NGOs are closing down.
The one thing is, if NGOs doesn't comply, they have the responsibility to comply. If they say they have complied or documents, I'm sure they can do it to any member of parliament. They do have recourse to the minister, they even have recourse to the court, and also to the MECs in provinces. So, if NGOs feel strongly that they have complied, they must approach one of the members of parliament. That is the one reality. And that is one of the avenues that are open to us. And that member of parliament should then take that matter up with the national minister. If not with the national minister, the NEC is proud. So, that is the one. That is the recourse. Okay. But we can't recommend to say that. And just assume that all NGOs that have not been registered.
Mm.
Because you're talking about transfers and registration.
Mm.
Now, National Social Development does the registration.
Mm.
So the transfers is actually to in the province.
Mm.
That is that.
Mm.
That's why I'm saying we should look at the Act. The reporting in also with the provinces.
So if you want to follow up, while we were still away, during our last, before we went on business, that was during our follow-up sessions in the house, I've got an opportunity to go and see the minister during that time. She was explaining what the meeting regarding the engines that are not being paid. She really understand the situation. And she was also saying that there is a problem in terms of the capacity within the provinces. Of course, she was saying that maybe she will make it a point that she will come to the portfolio committee where we can get a lengthy discussion, try to get the people involved. I also managed to talk with one of the officials who took for the transfer of the NGO. She was saying that the problem are with the province. That is where the problems lie. And other people, they really comply like Helen says now. So the issue is now, what can we do in the meantime? Because other NGOs are busy slowing down. And in reality,
their service on behalf of government. And they are really closing down. Every day they got emails and whatever. So, but we all have the power. So what can we do now in the meantime?
Yeah.
For those that are really the desperate needs.
You see, the unfortunate part in terms of our culture, you have the NTLP, you have the national thing. And in terms of the NTLP with the relationship with the province, thank you. You have that relationship. And those powers of the NTLP selectomatically. So what we can do is, the least I can do is write a letter to the chairperson in the NCLP to ask them to engage the provinces on this urgent matter. Especially now that they will also be engaging on the annual report. You understand? And raise our concerns as a committee. But we can't go and fight with provinces now and say, you must pay these people. And there's a separation of power issue. Which we have to take it out.
I agree with you, because I found because of NGOs or NPOs being so desperate to get their subsidies. And these included orphanages, old age homes, and what is the other, and whatever. I tried to contact the provinces to find out why they are not paying up. They refer to the new NPO Act. And I can understand that everybody was not informed of the new NPO Act. But then, NGOs and NPOs told me that several times they forwarded their financial reports, chairperson reports, whatever reports were needed. The department themselves could not give me clarity on this matter, because when I spoke to everybody was referring me to somebody else in the department that does the payments or the transfers. And everybody was telling me this. Believe me, in my file, I can show you how many people I spoke to, how many different answers I got to the problem. And in the meantime, those people were desperate just to get something to get going for this, especially the orphanages that were involved in this. And this is how I feel from the interview. But we have these people doing the work of the government and they cannot get funded. But it is, I agree with you, when I was in the NCOP, we used to work on these matters. They do more oversight than what we do. So actually that we need to refer to this problem. Because I don't know, I'm still a new refer. Yes, these people need the funding to push ahead. Otherwise, what do we think it was all those orphan children and also people, needy people, you know?
Okay. All of them look at it.
I think the possibility that you are coming with that you should write a letter to the NCOP. Because we are going to sit with the problem whereby the department will say is the provinces will say is the department. Because it was clearly indicated by the financial researcher last time that there is imbalances of spending. It seems as if the department is spending more focus on other programs than others. So we should question ourselves why that is happening. Because the things that they are neglecting, they are the most important programs that should be implemented on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member for the panel. That concludes the matter on the NPL. Honourable Member for the panel.
Thank you, Chair. As I've been listening to the presentation, I think there's an understanding on the relief of the I don't know what all them is. Even in my constituency, the money of some of the people that don't come in the state for that relief program, I don't think we've got enough awareness to our constituency. So I don't know how do you have a challenge, because if they're doing understanding, it is a problem, it's a crime for the department to understand. And the second question, when I've been listening to changing funds, 99.1, and then we are left with 5 months to
go before financial year. How are they going to get money from, or is because of the adjustment you are talking about? Because between now and end of March, before financial year, I don't think the department will cope. Will be overspending, and then I think will be a huge difficult. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. This is obviously for the year 2009-2010, right?
Oh.
And there's been an understanding. But also if you look at the social relief of stress, social relief fund,
mm-hmm.
more like a disaster fund.
Mm-hmm.
If there's been a flood
mm-hmm.
and somewhere and they apply to this national fund and they get money. So in terms of the, in the absence of disaster,
mm.
that's the money that's there.
Mm.
So I think we need to just keep that in the back of their mind. Remember we said some of those funds are dormant. The money
mm.
is there, but it hasn't been accessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's dormant. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still maybe to
yeah.
add on another matter of concern. Last week, during the engagement with the department, it came out that there are 5 funds which are, as Chairperson has indicated, they are only dependent if there is a natural disaster that is happening. And if no disaster happens, then the money lies dormant.
Mm.
So the department came up with a proposal which was reflected in the report.
Mm.
All the discussions last week that maybe the social relief act needs to be amended
mm.
so that all these funds they can be merged into one fund
mm.
and so that to monitor and the expenditure. So that's something that we have reflected on the report. Yes.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay.
Can you proceed to page 15? The topic is consideration of report of committee on public accounts. As mentioned earlier on that the number 5 is the engagement that already took place with the department and the researcher on the annual report of 2009 and 10. So that part I think we skipped that part, but on those bases I think the house agreed on that. So now we'll proceed to number 6 as one of the tools that we've used to incorporate on the B2R. Number 6, the topic is the consideration of reports of Committee on Public Accounts, SCOPA. Okay. One of the requirements on the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act provides the committees must consider performance assessment reports by the Committee on Public Accounts. A committee may also invite the Department on Public Accounts to comment on its report. However, the Committee on Public Accounts may not have reported on the latest annual report and financial statements of the department because they are only due at the end of September of each year. It is recommended that the Committee on Public Accounts should be advised to prioritize their reports on departments and consider public entities at a later stage. Due to the fact that the Department of Social Development did not appear before the Committee on Public Accounts in the past years, this report cannot report anything on this section. So the DSD didn't appear to SCOPA as they are prioritized. They only prioritize in terms of if there are matters of emphasis. The SCOPA will call a particular department to appear before it. The department didn't appear. The programs are unqualified unless if there is an entity that needs to require some attention. But after the referral, if there is anything, it will be referred to us.
Let's just stop there.
Number 7.
Let's just stop there. So social, I was at a public council meeting with Sasa.
Yeah,
and
I was
last year.
Yeah,
last year.
No, not beginning of the year.
Okay. So, they did, although they received, you see, they received unqualified orders, but they had matters of innocence. You only have matters of, you have no matters of innocence if you have a criminal. So they had matters of innocence, which obviously wasn't mind-blowing, but it was nonetheless there. So they did appear in front of the committee. I think we need to look at Section 6 and just have another approach with Section 6 as it stands here. In terms of a committee report, because public accounts will be in due a bit later. It will be a bit late in terms of the I think they started with the meeting or the report, I don't think so. They'll do it a bit later. And then the BRRR report since I went in spot. So I think why don't we leave this until tomorrow just in terms of finalization. I think, can we ask members to give specific attention to the section?
Section
for tomorrow, okay. And come back to us with recommendations now. Precisely because social development has appeared in front of SCOPA, although, SASA is part of the vote 16.
Mm.
It's not a vote on its
own.
That's why in that meeting, you had the DG heading the delegation, as a counting officer.
Can you get a report from SCOPA?
Yeah. So maybe if you can get us that report of SCOPA on that meeting and the resolutions from SCOPA on that section, we can then tomorrow just concretize.
As part of our engagement to incorporate, I think we advise the committee secretary to try and take all the findings. I think myself and Yoli requested the committee secretary on SCOPA to give us the report on SASA. They said that the report is not yet adopted by the committee. So today. You said today, no?
It is only being adopted
today. No? I can check progress made in respect of whether the committee managed to adopt. If so, and then we can bring it tomorrow as part of the tools we used to deliver to this matter.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good plan. I think let's do that. The question is, it takes so long to adopt the resolution because it has an impact on our work. And maybe that should be one of our recommendations then, that I think we should leave as a recommendation that the Committee on Public Works Accounts should be advised to prioritize the report on departments so that, and then just amend it. If members can look into that, into the formulation, not for now, for later. To say that we should look at the timing of the report, and especially in terms of the committee work, so that it has a positive influence on the work of portfolio committees instead of a negative impact. I think that should be one of our recommendations. Honourable Member Kapana?
Thank you,
Chair.
The first of
that
I think is very important is to have the report of the SIU, because SIU will also investigate the SASA. So what
about the committee
informed about the report from the SIU? What was their findings and all those things?
Yeah. You see, the SIU is contracted by SASA.
Yes.
So what we need to do is to get the report from social development on the findings of SIU and what have they done about it around the ground and what impact does it have. In terms of monetary and so on and so on. I think so that we can do in a separate committee meeting.
But they have.
Honourable members, seven.
Okay. I'm being honored as an honorable member. Number seven, consideration of other sources of information. The achievements reported in the department's annual report clearly reflect the department's adherence to the priorities. Priorities set by the 2009 State of the Nation Address identified the following priorities. It identified the following priorities: linking social assistance with sustainable livelihood, combating crime against women and children, strengthening skills and human resource base, fast-tracking community work program on the phase two of the expanded public works program, establish a single public service, enhance international cooperation. Report on the Financial and Fiscal Commission, one of the sources used to for the BRRR. The commission found that social security grants are important forms of income for poor households, especially in rural areas. They constitute up to 50% of income households headed by the elderly, preventing these households from falling into poverty traps. Social grants in South Africa are well targeted because they reach the poor, who include children, the aged, physical and mentally disabled, and caretakers. Social security grants have sharply reduced the incidence of poverty. Yes. This commission acknowledges the significant role of the child support grant in reducing the crisis of child poverty. The commission makes the following recommendations for the division of revenue. In the short term, government should continue to strive for fiscal consolidation by 1. Limiting the growth of entertainment spending to those programs that have demonstrably worked while refocusing expenditure to ensure better coordination and to deepen access by focusing on improved service quality. In particular, the Commission recommends that the government should continue to expand the child support and old age pension grant, the best targeted of social spending programs that are also complement anti-poverty intervention while building human capital and meeting other basic needs. 7.2, this is a report by the AG of South Africa. The Auditor General gave the Department of Social Development a qualified audit opinion for the following reasons. The AG was unable to satisfy as to the occurrence of social assistance grant expenditure with an approximate value of 10.5 billion. A number of grant beneficiary files requested from SASSA were not presented for audit purposes. Furthermore, numerous files presented by SASSA did not contain the necessary information that is required to form the basis for a valid grant payment. Despite the social assistance grant expenditure being reported in the annual financial statements of the Department of Social Development, a dual accountability relationship exists between the department and SASSA over the social assistance grant. The status of the current relationship therefore results in actions of SASSA having an impact on the audit report of the department regarding matters concerning social assistance grant expenditure. The Auditor General also could not audit the human resource oversight report because it does not form part of the financial statement. This is a very important section that it includes the service delivery progress report. The technical aspect of the report. The department's annual report is well structured. Also, it is easy to read, making it user-friendly. It was also submitted on time or as required by Parliament, and it is in accordance with the Treasury guidelines for submission of annual reports. I'll proceed to 7.3, the fact-finding visit, oversight visit.
The Portfolio Committee on Social Development, during its oversight visit to Mpumalanga, found that some aged, I think November, with November last year. Yeah, November last year. These are the fact findings on that oversight visit. They found that some of HCBC how home care, yeah. I'm not familiar with the acronym. Need to be strengthened in terms of capacity building, financial support and resources. For instance, the committee found that caregivers do not have kits to use when attending to strictly. As a result, they use condom as glass. The department's success in registering NPOs and introducing M&E system of HCBC are plausible achievements. It is hoped that in the long run, these will address the issue of provincial discrepancies in the funding models of these organizations. Furthermore, it is hoped that issues of stipends, funding, and resources given to HCBC will be jointly addressed through the integrated M&E system. As it is, the annual report is silent about these issues. The committee is particularly interested in knowing how the department will address the above-mentioned challenges. I'll proceed to 7.4, the report on Millennium Development Goals. The Department of Social Development plays a critical role in the achievement of Goals 1, which is eradicate.
Okay, just before you go to indigenous. On 7.3, I want members to know that there is a distinction in terms of functions when it comes to health and social development when it comes to home community-based care. With health community-based care, in terms of the Department of Health, they provide the training to home-based caregivers in terms of treating infected people, right? People that are infected. So they will wash the patient, they will people that get taken medication, and so on. And that is really needed, the kids. Than the clinic. But that is the responsibility of health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now social development treats the infected and the affected by providing psychosocial support. And sometimes, because it's one NGO delivering both services, you understand, they will then also then say social development is not giving us. It is not the responsibility of social development, it's the responsibility of health. So even in terms of the training of community home-based care workers, health is responsible for that training. They are the only institution that provides, as government, that provides that kind of training through facilitators. So what we need to do is, because we pick these things up, we need to then alert the MEC responsible for health, in this case it's a Mpumalanga. It's luckily health and social development. There's one MEC for both. So I just want members to keep that in mind in terms of the so that you don't leave this at the door of social development. Now, then the issue, you see that the one issue that you just need to, you remember social development last week in its annual report said they have conducted research on home community-based care, which they are now going to implement because of its recommendation. So we do need to rewrite this paragraph because of what has been concluded in terms of research. What we just need to assess whether that research has been concluded in the financial year under review. If it has been concluded this year, then the statement is correct. Okay? So we just need to make sure about that. Because if the research has been concluded this year, it has no relevance yet. Please continue.
7.4, the MDGs. The Department of Social of DSC plays a critical role in the achievement of Goal 1, which is eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. Goal number 3, promote gender equality and empower women. Goal number 6, combat HIV and AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. And goal number 8, develop a global partnership for development. In goal 1, eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, the department has made significant achievements towards attainment of the aforementioned goals. The social assistance program, through child support grant and old age grant, have had critical impact in mitigating child poverty and adult poverty, resulting in the overall well-being of poor households who otherwise would have been subjected in extreme poverty. Research has confirmed that social grants raise the income of the poorest of the poor, which comprise 40% of households, from 4.7 of pre-transfer income to 7.8 of post-transfer income. Therefore, the department achievement of increasing the number of beneficiaries by extending the child support grant to children between the ages of 15 to 18 years and equalizing the age eligibility for old age grant to men aged 61 to 62 years is the critical step towards South Africa achieving this goal. Notwithstanding the above, the methods of emphasis highlighted by the AG of SASSA will need to be given urgent attention to avoid them being a risk to the aforementioned achievements. Goal number 3, promote gender equality and empower women. And goal number 6, combat HIV and AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. The department has also contributed towards goal 3 and 6 through the social grant, home, community, and base care, and victim empowerment programs. The CSG, Child Support Grant was designed with the intention of targeting women as recipients in the expectation that women would be more likely to spend on essential items that would benefit the child. Research has revealed that approximately half of the Child Support Grant recipients, 56%, make the important financial decision in the household themselves, while another 22% make decision together with another household member. This suggests that primary caregivers have control over the spending of the child support grant money. A higher proportion of women in rural or informal urban areas, 57%, indicated that they were involved in the financial decision than women in formal urban areas, comprising of 44%. I'll proceed to number 8, the committee observations or findings. I believe that omitted accidentally or didn't include goal number 8.
Do you have it? The content environment just spoke to me that she has omitted call 8, so she can take a speech. Is that what you said?
No, I'll introduce it.
Okay, she says she'll include it for tomorrow's meeting. Is that fine with me? Maybe she can just type the parents off for us on call 8 and just send it to our teacher phone.
Okay, so
Committee observations. In its 2009-2012 strategic plan, the department set itself a performance measure of ensuring that the South African Social Security Agency becomes an effective and efficient social assistance delivery institution. This is critical considering that the department transfers over 90% of its budget to SASSA for payment of social grants. It is against this background that the matters of emphasis highlighted by the AG having a bearing to the department. The committee notes that the department needs to urgently ensure that SASSA strengthens its internal controls to address matters of emphasis raised by the AG. The committee most importantly notes with concern the dual accountability that exists between the department and SASSA. It further notes that the five funding accounts, Disaster Relief Fund, Refugee Relief Fund, Social Relief Fund, State Prison Fund, and High School Foreign to Disaster Fund, have been dormant because there have been no disaster events in the recent year. Therefore, the budget allocated to these funds has not been used. Yeah. It further notes that the court ruling in favor of Nawongo, in which it challenged the Free State Social Development Department financial award to NGO. The ruling has a bearing to the National Department's financial award, which thus has been implemented differently by the provincial department. This resulted in discrepancies in funding model of NGOs between provinces. The committee also notes with concern that the Memorandum of Understanding with law advisors of the Department of Justice and Personal Development for Child Protection Register was not finalized. The committee is concerned that the delay may impact negatively on targets set in relation to the Child Protection Register.
I think what we need to get is just the ruling has a bearing on the National Department Financial Award Policy. Which has been implemented by the Provincial Department.
Number nine, the conclusion. Despite the above-mentioned observations, the committee is satisfied with the department's overall achievements in meeting its targets. The annual report demonstrated a good performance of the department. Nevertheless, the committee notes that in some programs, particularly Program 1 and 2, there were a number of targets not achieved. The department provided reasons why these targets were not achieved. The committee hopes that the upcoming 2010 report on the strategic review will outline the measures the department has put in place to address the targets that were not achieved. The committee is concerned with the department receiving a qualified opinion, as the department has not received such an opinion in a long while. It is therefore critical that the department should ensure that issues raised by the AGs by the AG are resolved. Can I give it to you? Okay. Recommendations. In line with the observations made above, the committee recommends the following. To address the issue of dual accountability between the department and SASSA, the department should consider the establishment of the SASSA Board of Directors, which will oversee the functioning of SASSA. The board will be accountable to the minister. The SASSA Act should be amended to make provision for the establishment of the board. The amendment should clearly outline the processes of the appointment of the board and its function. It should also clarify the role and responsibility of the department and SASSA. This will eliminate the existing shortcomings of unclear rules and responsibilities between the two. Number three, SASSA and the department should consider enhancing and improving their internal control so as to ensure that SASSA functions effectively, particularly regarding administration of funding, cash flow and file management. SASSA may need to consider migrating to electronic filing system, as this will eliminate the problem of missing files. From the next financial year, the department should present its quarterly reports on financial expenditure and performance outcomes. This is important to enable the committee to compile its budgetary BRRR report. The department should consider amending the Social Relief Act The amendment should address the issue of the department having 5 dormant accounts. The amendment may consider merging these funds into one account. Okay? The last recommendation. The department should provide the committee with a detailed report on the above matters, including planned action to be taken to ensure that these shortcomings are eliminated. Report to be considered, and there are references that we used in compiling this report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I just add something here?
Yes.
That in the last paragraph, the department should provide the committee with a detailed report on the above matters, including plan action with set time frame to be taken to ensure that these shortcomings are in.
Can we ask members when you look at this recommendation? And then if you want to add, we'll add tomorrow. If that's possible. We see it as work in progress. But members now have a clear understanding. And just compare your notes and what we have discussed in the committee. So. And then we can adopt the report with a recommendation. We will trust the chair and the team to affect those recommendations. And hopefully you can have a meeting tomorrow by Monday morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Friday, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. No. They, on the Mula they have, you remember they said they're piloting it. So they piloted it in the best case.
In other provinces.
So other provinces in there to roll it out. So I think what we are saying, because they haven't decided to implement it consciously, saying they should, that it should consider. Yeah.
Can you put it in two other provinces?
No. Pilot means it's been tested.
Okay.
Right.
Just on a matter of clarity, regarding our recommendation, it's fine that the sisters are not taking the same board of directors, so they can oversee the function of SASA. I don't know, that's my own personal, that is good, but the board should be accountable to the minister. Presently, the forum of the NPO not be paid by the province. I was asking the deviation, what is the way of resolving this issue. The problem is that even the head of the department, they report directly to the minister. So the DV, they don't report it to him. Even now, when I was asking the DV about SASA, he said that SASA, what the problem is that if certain persons don't report to him, he doesn't have power or anything to interfere. That is the situation that we are in. Are we not somehow, the minister can be briefed by other things, but what about not involving the DG of the department? So that we can take accountability to the accounting officer.
Once the board is established,
yes, they must report him to the minister.
The board doesn't report to DG, they report to the minister. You see,
what about the DG of the department?
No. It is right. Your NDA have 4 members. We even have to get it because you can't say 4 of other schools.
Because
that's 4 members.
Mm-hmm.
So your CEO, you see what can happen now. The CEO of the NDA reports to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And your board then reports to the minister. Now, the same will be with SASA. Because, remember the DG of Social Development was complaining about the liability issue and accountability. But he is now also accountable for SASA, the expenditure, while he's not directly involved. So now you have a separate accountability instead of dual accountability. So now, the CEO of SASSA was reported to the board of SASSA. And the board of SASSA reports to the minister. You understand? While the minister will still have some influence in terms of what is happening in the in terms of appointment of the CEO and so on and so on. But the board will then be responsible for SASSA and then report to the minister. And the minister appoints the board, like she's appointing the NDA board and so on. And the other is the CDA that also reports to her. So your social department of social development will then be overall responsible for the policies of social development in all those over social welfare, population, and so on, and Medicare and all that. So you will actually have a more structured, yeah, you will have a more structured vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see.
And perhaps we should come to the
Yeah, so SASSA will then have a board. If you just look at how SASSA will operate with a board, so it actually makes more sense. But you then you will have to amend the Social Assistance Act, honourable members, and then obviously also address the issues around reporting and powers and accountability. So then SASSA will have its own annual report, and the board will come to us as a report. Okay. But can we ask honourable members to look at this and really work on it tonight? So you have a lot of homework. Compare your notes, look at the presentation that Sasha made, look at the presentation from the senior researcher. On the finances, on the AG. I think you have quite a lot of reference documents that you can use. And then we look at the issue. I just wanted to raise one other issue with you. After our briefing with the AG, the burger wrote a report to say 10 billion rand is missing from SASSA. They can't account for it. And I think the reporter from the burger really misunderstood what the AG was saying in terms of the sample of filing that he took in terms of his regulatory audit that he did for SASSA. And the burger really carried the story as if 10 billion rand in social grants have now gone missing from SASSA. Instead of really giving attention to what the AG was saying, and how he came to the level of materiality that they qualified us in terms of that, and the formula that has been used. And that really brings me to the point to say that I think a newspaper like the Burger should tell the journalists just to study the PFMA more and look at what is a regulatory order. Because you write an embarrassing article that is totally off the point.
Mm.
Although you have the information. It was the day after our meeting.
She was in the meeting then?
Yeah.
She was even in the meeting when we had the party.
Yeah, but she misinterpreted everything. Totally missed the boat in terms of the PFMA and the regulatory audit. Which is, I'm sure it would be a severe embarrassment to the newspaper if we replied, and I was very tempted to reply, but I want to speak to the AG's office on this matter. Because I think they should reply to the newspaper in this, because it also then casts aspersions on the Auditor General, because that is misinformation. Honourable Member,
Honourable
Member, yes.
Because that report was given to us as a committee. You should respond on behalf of the committee to how that thing was presented to us. Even if the AG is going to respond,
okay. But
the committee should also respond because it was presented to us as a committee as
the understanding of the 10 billion.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll do that. Honorable Member Diallo, welcome to our meeting.
Thank you. Chairperson, I arrived late. It's not my committee anyway. Just that I have nothing to do. My committee is not sitting. I'm going around.
Welcome.
Now, I would like to. My name is Nelson, of course. Yeah. I would like to know on a question of the committee observation. Observations from it's better know that the five funding accounts to start service funds.
No, you actually right with that analysis. I wanted to correct that. When the fund is dormant, no funds are being allocated. It has been allocated once for a purpose. So, you take the worst of foreign to dissolve a disaster fund. It has been established because of that, should I call it a tragedy, right? But it hasn't been accessed again because there hasn't been that same kind of event again. So in terms of your immediate disaster relief fund, no one has accessed that fund again. So it's dormant, it hasn't been used. So there's no money that has been allocated on an annual basis. I think we just need to restructure a bit. Thanks very much for that observation. That is why we're going through this process, to look at the report.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because there's no money that has been allocated. On an annual basis, yeah. Therefore, the budget allocated to these funds. Therefore, the budget allocated to these funds are not used. I think we should just erase that.
Yeah.
Okay. Honourable members, that basically deals with the issue. So we need to go clean up the report and add. Thank you. We need to look at this, add, and so on. Okay? Thank you. I wanted to make a proposal with a Brazil report. Would members want us to go through it, or do you want to read through it?
Yeah.
You want to read through it on your own? And look at it on your own, and then come back to us.
For
it's for next week.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Can we get a proposal?
Yes.
Honorable Member Mavakula, and then Honorable Member Mavakula.
Thank you, Chair. If you can take the class and look at it as you can in the central office.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Member Mavakula, you second? Honourable Member Lamula, are you seconding?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Right. Honourable members, we've come to the end of our meeting. Just, I forgot to formally introduce the new member of our committee. It's Honourable Member Sarah Paul from the Independent Democrats that has joined our committee. So, and then we have Honourable Member Nelson Riale, old comrade of mine from 1994. We were together in the Senate. We were the first senators that have also joined us today. Thank you very much, and especially for the contribution you made. With that, Honourable Members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. I don't walk on the